Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bout and Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, huge slate of action in regards to the SEC in week number 7, but we'll turn back the clock yet again and look at week number 6. 2 weeks ago, we said we had the game of the century, potentially of the decade, with Jalen Milroe and the Alabama Crimson Tide knocking off top-ranked Georgia 41-34. Last weekend, though, we had the upset potentially of the last 10 years in the conference. Vanderbilt strikes the upset as a 23.5-point home underdog. They win it over Alabama 40-35. What a difference a week makes.
It really does. You thought Alabama would learn some of its lessons for how Georgia came back, but I think the word rat poison, wasn't that Nick Saban, what he would say about it? They got some rat poison, convinced them how good they were and how much better they were. And you know, Vanderbilt, who had a good game the week before, they come in what I call an academy offense with respect. They run a triple option type of offense that you got to defend. I have to say Alabama wasn't ready for it. They weren't prepared for it, and they made no adjustments for it during the game. And that way they were outcoached. But the guy, the quarterback for Vanderbilt, did a fantastic job because he's running an offense that makes him good in the style of offense. Alabama, on the other hand, they've got to shore up their defense, and they've got to get their confidence back. And now they've got to go out this week with a decisive win to get themselves moving in the right direction. That's one that will never be forgotten, but it's one that can be pushed aside in the next few ball games when it comes to national championship playoff.
Yeah, and that's where I wanted to touch on, Coach, in regards to Kalen DeBoer, right? His defense allows Georgia to retake the lead in regards to the fourth quarter, 34-33, and then they pull it out on the last drive with Jalen Milroe hitting Ryan Williams. But then we see the defense follow that up with a 40-point performance by Vanderbilt, right? So from a defensive perspective, that's something I think when you look at Kalen DeBoer and Nick Saban, Nick Saban's defenses in back-to-back weeks at least would never get ripped for potentially 34 and 40 points in a respective ballgame in conference, let alone to Vanderbilt.
Well, that's why I always said the big issues at Alabama the next year or so are not the talent level. They'll get that. It's can you be the coach to meet people's expectations? Because right now they said, gosh, he's the greatest coach in the world after the first half against Georgia. And now they're saying, oh, my gosh, we've never had somebody blow a game this much. That's the kind of pressure. He'll get it so much more there than anywhere else. If you could understand, I coached three universities in the state of Alabama, Samford, North Alabama, and Auburn. And I was there for many of the coaches that were at Alabama. And so the pressure's on DeBoer, but what he's got to do now is get his kids focused. Hopefully, I think that loss definitely got their attention. And now go play solid defense. Go out there and play the defense you can play. And then take it one game at a time, and you can get back in the hunt.
Yeah, Coach, I want to touch on Diego Pavia for a second, the former New Mexico State quarterback. To your point, he puts up 252 yards against the Alabama secondary, 2 touchdowns, also rushes for 56 yards on the ground. He's been an added dimension and a bright spot for that offense. when you look at Vanderbilt, they lost their former quarterbacks, A.J. Swan to LSU and Anthony Wright to Northwestern. But Clark Lee did find a quarterback that fits his scheme. Maybe not the most prolific quarterback or the, you know, in terms of NIL or, you know, marquee transfers, but it's a quarterback that actually fits his scheme. And we've seen it at a number of programs, not just Vanderbilt, but in terms of Kirk Cignetti in Indiana getting Curtis Rourke from Ohio, you know, maybe not the best quarterback, but a quarterback that fits the scheme. How important is that in terms of transfer and NIL to recognize the talent and bring him into the program?
Well, at Vanderbilt especially, because I mentioned they had an academy-type offense. I mean triple option. I mean a smart offense. It takes some smart football players that know how to manage the football, manage the offense, and that's what the quarterback does at Vanderbilt. He's not necessarily going to be an NFL talent. He may not be the height. He may not have the arm, but he has the ability to run that offense and know where to throw it. And then the quarterbacks, because they were probably the underdog, they made an incredible fourth and one touchdown pass. They called a great game. They called a great game that with impunity. They didn't care because they knew they had to do it. And so I'd say brought in a quarterback that could run the system, and the coaches have shown a great ability to call the offense and keep it wide open. Because I think at Vanderbilt, that's what you've got to do. It's so much because it's one of those what I call smart schools. It's a very academic school. They can't get every blue chipper that other people get. They've got to have a system. And what I like about their system, it's not all run. It's not all pass. It's a run and pass style. You know, I played Army last year, and they had changed their offense to one that throws and passes. And once they got comfortable, they ran the table towards the end and went to the bowl. And I think that's what you're seeing out of Vanderbilt.
Coach, another upset in the conference happened in Fayetteville. Arkansas strikes the upset over top-ranked Tennessee 19-14. They hold that high-powered Volunteers offense to only 14 points. Talk to me about that effort by Sam Pittman. Again, he's got this team at 4-2 overall. They're a blue-collar team. They can run the football effectively and shut down the run. That's a physical front seven. That was a monumental effort Saturday night against the Volunteers.
Yeah, the fact that they could play a physical ball game against Tennessee's defense and win that part, win the trenches, and play like they did is a big credit to Arkansas. Now, Arkansas has played well all year. Sam Pittman, we have to say, you know what? He knew that his fanny was on the line, and he has had that team ready to play. It's a shame they don't have one more win this season. But I'm kind of shocked at Tennessee. Tennessee's lost their identity. And it goes back to a couple of years ago where they would throw it deep every time. They're a team that people think they run first, pass second. They're a pass-first, run-second team. Now, they don't have to pass first every game, but they have to show people passing formations, and that's why they were able to run so much early is because people were afraid of what they used to do. But they, unless they throw downfield vertically and they throw wide horizontally, the passes, they just have a one-inside zone play. They can't depend on the running attack without the passing attack to spread people wide and with the bubbles and hitches and deep with the vertical routes. And they have got to get the ball going north and south downhill. And what that all of a sudden you'll see the running game pick back up. But if you say they've got to run the ball more, they can't run it unless they spread people out and make them fear the deep ball. I don't think they've been as comfortable or successful throwing the deep ball.
Yeah, Tennessee does have a rivalry game against Florida. They're 14.5, 15-point favorites at home in Knoxville. Coach and I will break it down a little bit later in the show. But the hits keep on coming for Hugh Freeze and Auburn. They've now lost three straight. They get the cover against Georgia, Coach, but things aren't good on the plains in Auburn.
Yeah, you know, when these things go south, it's usually because of quarterback mistake. You take Florida State, you take Auburn. Somewhere along, they didn't get the quarterback situation solved. And when you're in the league, the SEC, you got problems when you don't have a steady quarterback. Auburn has tried to play between two people, and they haven't been able to get any kind of offense going. Very unlike Hugh Freeze, who usually has a good game plan with his offense. His defense is playing pretty good football now. Their defense can keep in some games, but they're a lot like Florida State in that they're now just trying to recover the season. And they can't do that. Both teams have problems at quarterback. It's hard to recover when you can't line up with somebody that can play quarterback position.
Absolutely. And on the flip side, Georgia's offense does put up a 30 spot. They get the win, like I mentioned, in no cover. They now have dominated Auburn in regards to the series, winning 8 straight against the Tigers. Carson Beck bounces back. What a solid performance. Quick thoughts before we go to break on Georgia big picture. Impressed with that victory against the Tigers?
Absolutely. You have to coach in that rivalry to understand how hard it is to blow somebody out. But there are still Georgia, maybe Alabama, Texas, Ohio State. There are certain teams with a lot more talent than everybody else. And toward down the stretch where people have injuries, people don't have depth, and they don't have the talent, they're not going to rise late in the season. Georgia's a team that will rise at the end of the season and be there in the championship playoff.
Georgia does square off against Mississippi State this coming weekend. They're 32.5-point home favorites. We'll dive into week number 7 in the SEC, the Red River Rivalry. Oklahoma, Texas, coming right back. Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden on the Bowden Blitz.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, week number 7 on the horizon, the Red River Rivalry. Texas, Oklahoma. Texas opens up as a 14.5-point favorite in Dallas. Coach, both teams are a member of the SEC, first meeting within the conference, and both teams coming out of a bye week. We had Quinn Ewers potentially starting under center in regards to this matchup. Last time Texas played, they get the home win over Mississippi State, but no cover. On the flip side, we saw Michael Hawkins and Oklahoma pull out a fourth quarter performance to hand Hugh Freeze their second loss of the regular season. Give me your thoughts about how you see this game shaping up, and can Michael Hawkins be a difference maker for the Oklahoma offense?
You know, I don't think the difference in the game will be made by a difference maker at Oklahoma. I think that's what would have to happen for them to win. I don't believe that's going to happen. Texas is too good on defense, but especially offensively, they'll put up more points than Oklahoma. It's kind of like what I've said about Oklahoma for the last few weeks. They can't score enough to keep up with Tennessee. They can't score enough to keep up with this team. They're an outstanding team, but they have not got enough. They've got a young quarterback, and they're limited what they want to do with him. And on the other side, you've got a veteran quarterback now. And I'm assuming Quinn Ewers is going to start. And I don't think that changes who I would pick to win the game. It might change who I would pick at the spread. But it's not going to change who I think is going to win. But Texas has got too much offense. They're too solid. And I just think it's a great rivalry. I will say this. I don't think NIL, portal transfer guys that show up one year, have an understanding of how big the Red River Shootout is and how important this game is. The fans want them to get into it. I don't think they can learn that just by hearing other people. You got to live it. And I think this is one of those great rivalries that I think Texas is just a better football team this year, especially at the quarterback position.
Well, when you talk about Quinn Ewers, most likely he'll get the start. He's completed 73% of his passes, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. To your point, he's missed back-to-back weeks with the abdominal strain, and he did lead the victory over Michigan in Ann Arbor earlier in the year. He's the more battle-tested quarterback heading into this rivalry game. But he hasn't played in a couple of weeks, right? So right. For Steve Sarkisian and the offensive staff, in terms of the play calling, knowing that there potentially could be a little timing and ring rust with the quarterback to wide receiver relationship, from a game plan perspective, how would you attack it, especially in the first half of this matchup?
Well, I mean, I want to say this. Ewers, they would not play if he wasn't ready to play because they want to win the football game. He's got such a great backup quarterback that can play and play very well. If they go with Ewers, and I think they will, it's because he's ready to go. They've been in practice. They've watched his reps. They've tested every route they need to throw in the game. If he can't throw enough of it, you won't see him at quarterback. They got to win this game. They can't afford to have him in there and not able to do what he's going to do. So I think if he's in there, and I do think he will be, I think he'll be 100%. And he is just he's a veteran. He's had big games before. He's been in them, and he's won them. He's beaten Alabama in Tuscaloosa. He's won Michigan at Michigan. He handles that type of pressure as an older player would. And so I think he will go, but I don't think they would play him if he wasn't 100% ready to go. Or I don't think they'd limit their offense just to have him in there if Arch Manning can throw the whole game.
Well, let me play devil's advocate for 1 second. Let's say it is a fourth quarter game or a second half game, and Quinn Ewers is struggling. Let's say he's thrown a couple of interceptions, and Texas is potentially losing the ball game by 7 or 10 points. Would Sark then, in your opinion, turn to Arch Manning in that type of situation, or you ride it out with Ewers, being that he hasn't lost the game up until this point?
No, I think it's something for in a heartbeat. I think you'd put Arch Manning in a heartbeat if he thought Ewers wasn't playing well because of an injury. That's a different than saying, hey, you're not playing well. Is that you're not able to do the things you need to do because your stomach is tightened up. Your injury has increased now. It's a little bit less. Let's go with the young gun and let him go with it. I don't think there should be no hesitation because I don't think there's a quarterback problem. I don't think Arch thinks he ought to be playing in front of Ewers. I don't think Ewers is going to worry that Arch is taking his position. I think they got a pretty good situation with a 1 and a 2 that are very, very close. And the quarterback's going to – I mean, the coach is going to make the call. He's a former quarterback himself. He's going to make the best call based on who can win the football game.
Yeah, I like Oklahoma to keep it close, Coach, with the 14.5. I think their third down defense, 30%, could be a way to get Quinn Ewers into long third down situations. And 18 total sacks for that front seven. If they can get some quarterback pressures and put Texas into long third downs, I think they could be within the number Saturday afternoon. It's a 3:30 kick. Total is 49.5. If you're back in Texas, you want to go over the 49.5. If you're taking Oklahoma, it's got to be a lower scoring game, in my opinion, to keep it close. Let's turn our attention to the battle in Baton Rouge. You got LSU as a 3.5-point home dog against Ole Miss. When you look at the series, Coach, Ole Miss has not knocked off LSU in Baton Rouge since 2008. Last time they played there, they lost 45-20. This is an offense in Jackson Dart that's averaging well over 40 points per game. They might have the quarterback advantage heading into this matchup.
You know, the quarterback situation is interesting because I know Dart Jackson has the stats, but you know, the NFL people are telling me that Nussmeier may be a higher pick, more of an NFL quality quarterback who doesn't throw the ball quite as much, whereas Dart's may be at 6-3 and on down the line. So I think that Nussmeier has gotten a lot of interest out of for his talent level. But I agree with you, the numbers on offense are going to come out of Ole Miss because of the way they utilize their quarterback and the way they throw the football. But you know, this is in LSU. This is in Death Valley. LSU's had a week off. They're healthy. They're ready to play. Ole Miss is banged up. Trey Harris may not play, and they are a banged-up football team. And although they're a favorite, and it's the 100th anniversary of playing football in Death Valley, their stadium is going to be – and I want to say this, their head coach has never lost at night since he's been there, and their team, he's 12-0. He's got a great night. It's a different environment. I've coached there. It's a different environment at night. I'm going to take LSU with the points because I just have been in that stadium coaching too many times.
I'm going to take the points as well. 3.5, I think, is too much in regards to the LSU Tigers. I do believe that Nussmeier can attack that secondary over the top. And I actually think LSU can run the football as well in regards to this matchup. When we come back, two other games on the horizon. We have Alabama against South Carolina. Alabama, can they get off the mat and cover the 20-point number against the Gamecocks? And then the rivalry in Knoxville, Tennessee laying 15.5 against Billy Napier and the Gators. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continuing the conversation, week number 7 breakdowns in regards to the SEC. We'll turn our attention to the battle in Knoxville. Tennessee coming off the 19-14 road loss to Arkansas, now booked as 15.5-point favorites over Billy Napier and the Florida Gators. When you look at this matchup and series overall, Florida has won 6 of the last 7 meetings, including last year where they won in the Swamp, 29-16 last time in Knoxville. The Volunteers did strike the 38-33 win, but these are teams coached right now heading into week number 7, headed in opposite directions. Florida gets off the mat against an in-state opponent, UCF. As a home dog, they get the victory 26-13. Can Tennessee dominate this game to cover the 15.5-point number?
you know, after watching the play last week or the last time, I just don't know. They have lost their identity. I said this before. They've lost their identity by being the explosive downfield passing team that they used to be. And you got to go back 2 years to where they really started feeling good about this offensive system. They're right now, they're trying to control the clock and run the ball and even slowing it down. I don't think that's their game. I don't think that's Josh Heupel's game. So if they're going to get the points that they usually get, they've got to go back throwing it vertically downfield and horizontally to the sideline, and that's what's opened up their running game. Because you got to remember, their running game is basically an inside zone play. It's made to go between the tackles, and you got to spread the defense out vertically and horizontally to get that running game going. Florida, you know, Florida's had a pretty good year. They've lost one conference game. They put some wins together. And this is a huge game for both teams. When it talks about their future play, maybe the head coaching future of Napier, and then the season for Tennessee in regard to the SEC championship, it's a big, big game.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and that's where I wanted to go in regards to Billy Napier. You know, he was on the hot seat, and rightfully so, after the blowout home loss to Cam Ward in Miami. They then righted the ship. They got an FCS win, and then they did win against Mississippi State, a conference win on the road in Starkville, and they followed it up against a win 24-13 last week over Gus Malzahn and KJ Jefferson. And when you look at the quarterbacks, coach, in this matchup, right, Lagway that's come on in relief of Graham Mertz at times, but Graham Mertz is a battle-tested quarterback. And in regards to this rivalry game, might be the most experienced going up against Tennessee and Nico, even though he's at home.
You know, when you see a team that's struggling record-wise, or the fans are upset and the coach is nervous, you see them putting in a backup quarterback, whether it be Florida State or Auburn or Florida, and that doesn't mean that's a better quarterback. Doesn't mean that's the best guy who should be playing. At that immediate time, you got to do something. You got to do something to please the crowd and to excite your team. Right now, against a team like Tennessee, Mertz gives you the best chance. He makes less mistakes. It's kind of like the – I don't know if you can compare the Ewers-Manning situation, where one's more experienced, but you win a game like this, you want a more experienced quarterback, and you don't want him turning the ball over, and you want to take advantage of what you got. So the key to them, I think, is not turning the ball over, making mistakes, and hope that Tennessee doesn't figure out how to hit the explosive play downfield like they had been doing in years past.
Yeah, I like Tennessee plus the 15.5. Plus the 15.5. I think Tennessee might win, but I do feel the Gators can be live in this matchup, knowing about how they've played throughout this series. Like I mentioned, they've won 6 of the last 7, got the victory last year. I think 2 touchdowns is way too much, even though they're on the road in Knoxville. The last game that we'll touch on is Alabama laying 21.5 in Williams-Brice. We saw South Carolina lose as a home dog last week by a 9.5 point spread. Ole Miss dominates that matchup 24-23. Any shot the Gamecocks could cover against Jalen Milroe in this matchup?
No, I think Alabama comes in and they hit on all cylinders. I keep thinking about Ryan Williams and the great receivers that they have, and also that quarterback that they have. It's incredible the talent that they have on offense to score points, run the football and score points. And again, their defense does need to play better, but they've got an outstanding talented defense. And I think this is a game where Alabama, knowing they've got to get a big, solid victory quick, I think they play a great football game. And they go ahead. Milroe, I think, has a great game. Big time plays. I'm really looking to Alabama to take this game and even beat a spread like they have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at the 51.5 as well, an over because of Jalen Milroe, Ryan Williams. We saw Jackson Dart put up 285 yards on that secondary last week. Expected to continue against Jalen Milroe and that high-powered passing attack. Kalen DeBoer and Alabama most likely will move to 5-1 on the regular season. Coach and I will be back next week breaking down the SEC. Have a great weekend, everyone.
LEDs.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.